It's our pleasure today to be talking with Adam Steen. Mr. Steen is seeking the Republican nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Adam grew up in Indianola, Iowa. His father often helped out local businesses at no charge, believing that when neighbors succeed, the entire community prospers. That lesson guides him today. Adam earned a college baseball scholarship and was drafted by the Philadelphia Phillies. When his professional baseball career ended, he came back to Iowa and set out to build businesses. Adam partnered with a high school friend to launch a turkey decoy company and helped grow a financial planning firm where he worked with families to create stability and security in their future. Adam is also a credentialed minister and characterizes himself as the faith guy. Adam was recruited to serve as director of the Iowa Department of Administrative Services. Over 5 years, he was confirmed twice by the Iowa Senate. At the department, he worked to reduce government, streamlined processes, and delivered projects on time. Adam met his wife, Casey, at a coffee shop in Clive, Iowa, and they're raising two boys. Adam, tell our listeners something about yourself they'll not find on your website or with a search engine.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I appreciate that. Well, most of our life can be searched at this point, but I want to share one quick story about my son, Riker. My son, he's 10 years old. I got two boys, Riker and Maverick. My 10-year-old was born with a rare genetic disorder, and we were told at 4 months old that he would likely never walk or talk. Well, we're a faith-filled family, and we do what we can to get experts in charge of our lives as well as the Lord. And he is now walking, he's talking, he's giving sermons at churches, and he's kind of our little miracle right now. So yeah, it's something that it's easily searchable, but we love sharing that story because God's good, and when you that means that there's hope. There's hope for the future, and we celebrate that on a regular basis.
I'm sure you do. I suppose that you're moving around the state quite a bit especially since you announced your run. As you talk with people around the state, what are their most frequent concerns?
Yeah, that's a great question. We launched our 99 county tour called 99 Strong this last weekend. And the issues that we're hearing on a regular basis really are threefold. One, eminent domain and making sure that private property is not abused by eminent domain. And we are very strong private property proponents on this side. So we will not allow eminent domain abuse on private property. The second thing we hear on a regular basis is property tax reform, and we are a champion for property tax reform. That's a little more complicated than some other issues, but I do know that the legislature is working on that. We'll be following that very, very closely, and we're working with several experts, even down to the county level, to get ideas on how to ensure that property tax is reformed appropriately for Iowans. And the third thing that we hear quite often is school choice, and we are 100% school choice advocates at Team Steen here, and we will work as hard as we can to ensure that parents have as many and all the rights as they can to raise their children the way they want to and how they choose to.
Assume that you're elected. What do you want to do?
Oh, yeah. No, I love that question. So the key to that question is that I've been operating the state for 5 years. So I had to resign my position in order to run for governor. But for 5 years, I operated the state. I oversaw probably what I would say the most important department of the state, which oversees the compliance and regulatory components of the state, like HR, like accounting, like procurement. And so one of the first things I'm going to do as governor is ensure that the efficiency projects that we ran for the state, like alignment, my department was spearheaded that project, is to ensure that we capture and maximize all the savings from efficiencies that we've put in place. So I will centralize HR, I'll centralize finance, And I will work to oversee span of control within the states too. So very, very operational activities that we'll do right away that will save taxpayers millions of dollars instantly when I take office.
You mentioned savings that you found when you were operating the government the last 5 years. Could you explain one of those specifically?
Yeah, one of them, it was actually kind of a large project that unfortunately not a lot of people know about. M my department wasn't good at marketing. we just operated. We just got things done. But there was a property in Toledo, Iowa. So Tama County, Toledo, Iowa, that sat dormant for 10 years. It was the old Iowa Juvenile Home. And it sat on the state's books for 10 years, and no one could figure out how to get that project turned into something that was either not costing the state money or providing value to the local community. So the governor put that project on my plate. There were, I want to say, 15 to 17 buildings and about 30 acres of land that our tax dollars, we were spending $250,000 a year just to keep the yard mowed, just to keep the building sort of securitized to make sure nobody was going to vandalize it. And so within 1 year, after I put a project plan together, created single points of contact, we were able to transfer that entire property to the city of Toledo. The city then transferred the good large buildings to the school, the local school. And today, that building is a functional junior high school. They're calling it the Taj Mahal of Tama County. And then the bare ground that was transferred to the city is now home lots for homes, 36 lots for homes that the beef processing plant can now have employees purchase the land and build homes and have a place to live versus having to bring them in from Cedar Rapids and other places to work. So that right there saved. I mean, we'd spent a lot of money just kind of sitting on that, but it saved the state a lot of money going forward, and it created an economic development opportunity for the city of Toledo that they didn't think was possible. And so that's just one of the big projects that we did within my department that I wish more people knew about because it was an awesome project.
There's another issue that does pop up that seems to be current for a lot of folks, and that's the quality of our water. And if we're going to continue to have access to water of quality enough to drink, do you have a position about that?
Yeah, so right now, that was actually another issue that came up very early in the campaign. And the way I make decisions is I try to bring experts to the table and I try to learn from experts and then make decisions going forward. And so it doesn't, to me, it doesn't matter if an expert is a Republican, Democrat, independent. I just want somebody who knows the information that they're speaking of. And so early on, I set out to get in front of as many experts as I possibly could to understand what was happening with water quality. And so my father, and this probably isn't searchable yet either, but my father passed away of kidney cancer 3 years ago. And it was not genetic, it was something environmental. So I'm very, very passionate about this issue to make sure that we kind of understand what's going on. But I am putting together a task force of experts that can come to the table and make recommendations on really number one, what is the actual issue? And two, how do we solve the issue? And in the early stage of this task force, I've come to understand that there are many, many, many toxins in our soil that from many different areas that we need to understand where they're coming from and also understand how to keep them out of our water system. So this will be a complex issue, but I will be able to pull the experts together to come to a conclusion on this problem because that's what I do. That's the operator, that's the project manager, that's the solution-oriented guy that I am. And it will be a challenge, but we'll be able to get it solved.
Well, that will be, if you solve that, that will be a great accomplishment because I know it affects every one of us. Healthcare. There are a number of county hospitals that are basically on the edge financially and could possibly go under and create an even more difficult environment for people to obtain even basic healthcare in the state. Do you have a position on how you would work on that problem?
Yeah, so right now I'm looking at, and there's the articles coming out now about the Medicaid cuts and things happening across rural Iowa. I do have a lot of hospital connections. And so one thing I'm doing as well, because I don't claim to be an expert in everything, I have to find the experts. And so I'm reaching out to different medical connections that I have within the hospital community. And what I would like to see, number one, is what is ultimately going to flush out from some of the Medicaid challenges that we've got right now, but then also combine that with the surplus that the state has right now. I believe fully and have seen it from the inside of state government. The Republicans have budgeted very, very well. We have surpluses for a reason. And so I'm excited, frankly, to tackle this issue using local experts in rural communities to ensure that health care for those in need is delivered appropriately, and that there are no breaks in that health care. So that's another pull the experts to the table, put a little project plan together, make sure we know where all the resources are, and you attack the problem until you come up with the best conclusion.
Well, you spent some time developing businesses. I don't know what kind of employment arrangements you had with that, but the state minimum wage has not increased for years, and some people say we shouldn't even have one. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I am a free market guy through and through. And so when I believe, honestly, when the government comes in and tries to make decisions for businesses, it creates more problems downstream. So I believe that the free market will ultimately create the demand and create the wages that need to be created. So if I can be a catalyst for getting government out of the way, I will. That will make me very, very happy because I think the free market is the way to go, and free market creates the demand, captures the demand, and pays appropriately.
Taking care of some of these issues requires money. And you mentioned that the state has developed a couple of surplus accounts. What direction should we go under a Steen administration with taxation, both from the property tax viewpoint and the income tax viewpoint?
Very simply, the lower the taxes we can get, the better off we're going to be, because that's going to generate more people moving into the state. It's going to generate more businesses into the state. And one thing that I'm championing, and I will be the largest promoter in state history of the skilled trades industry. So right now, all across the state, we've got great manufacturing in Iowa. We were an ag state, through and through, I see an opportunity for skilled trades all across this state, in every single pocket of this state. I built and sold my ownership in a turkey decoy company, like you mentioned. As I traveled the state looking for Iowa manufacturers, the manufacturers I was dealing with were not willing to take it on because they didn't have the appropriate setup. They didn't have the necessary amount of employees. There was an opportunity right there to produce this product in Iowa, but we couldn't do it because manufacturers couldn't take it on. I spread out to the region. I ended up having to outsource that product in China. It was devastating to me because in the hunting industry, it's America. We're America first here. We're Iowa first. And to know that I couldn't put an American flag on that product and say made in the USA, I've never forgotten about that. And that was about 12 years ago. From a tax perspective, we need to continue to lower taxes so that we can bring businesses into this state, so we can bring hardworking families into this state. But then how do you counteract that and bring in revenue? You build businesses where demand is, and that is in the skilled trades industry. That's in the manufacturing industry, bringing workers into these companies so that they can manufacture and continue to make Iowa the unbelievable free state that we are.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing yourself with our audience. You've been listening to Conversations with Candidates with Mr. Adam Steen, who is seeking the Republican Party nomination for governor of Iowa.